This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of fantasypoints.com. The program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen. And as always, it is sponsored by Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. Download Better at better.app. Sign up now and get a free $10, no deposit necessary. And make sure you download and access the Prop Points podcast wherever you get your pods on Apple, Spotify, and the like. We'll catch you up on the news trickling out here on the first official practice day of the week for all the teams except those playing on Thursday. We will, as always, break down your Week 9 wide receiver corner matchups. A very interesting week and probably not going to be warm and fuzzy about it, but I do have some interesting thoughts because it's a weird week in that I'm seeing a ton of individual matchups that really stand out. But overall, the schematics don't really line up all that well. So it's kind of a weird week to me in that it's like the schematic matchup, the coverage shells versus the individual matchup. So should be an interesting week. Remember, we are going to be in the month of November for week 9 other than tomorrow night's game. So you can be damn sure I am preparing to pop out some unders. Our guy Brett Whitefield, I don't think he likes unders either, but he's been kicking tail. I see 6-3 on the recos last week, which is, that's a lot of recos for a short segment. So he'll be back again to see what he has cooking for week number 9. And then as per usual, we on a Wednesday, still a little early in the week, still doing plenty of research, but I've started the research. We'll take a look at the totals on the board and offer up some insight in terms of what they do mean. I will say maybe the individual matchups hold up and win this week because we do have, alert the media, 5 games over 50 points. Whoa, that's kind of a lot in this day and age. Well, news and notes here at the top, and I will maybe offer up a little bit on the schematic matchups at the end of this segment, which, again, don't look incredible, but we do have those 5 games with a total of over 50. So I do think that bodes pretty darn well. We do have some critical injuries out there in the National Football League, like Lamar Jackson, and he's ready to go. Here's a quote. I'm ready to go. So I think we're good about playing in week number 9. Are we starting him? Yes, we are. Are we expecting the world? Maybe not, but we're starting Lamar Jackson. Oddly enough, the Miami Dolphins have actually been all right covering the pass, and it's not. This is one of the many examples, a wonderful schematic matchup for Lamar Jackson. The Dolphins really haven't been tested, let's be honest. Kirky Cousins, Cooked Cousins, and Dylan Gabriel, but Justin Herbert did get him for 264/2, but they're actually hanging in there, giving up the 11th fewest passing yards per game. Now, they do give up the second most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game on the ground, but of course, can we trust Lamar with his rushing prop? I haven't looked at it. I think it's probably, I'm going to guess, 28.5. Let's take a look. Not that we're going to trust him on that, but it is a pretty good matchup in that regard. Can we find that number? No, we can't. We can never find anything when we're looking at it. Here we go. Bop-a-dip-bop. 37. Wow, that's a pretty big number. So not going to take that, but you can see why it's a big number. Miami giving up production to quarterbacks in the running game. Tyler Shuck will make his first start on Sunday against the Rams. Is it an upgrade over Spencer Rattler? I think it probably is in terms of the short to intermediate passing attack. Rattler does not look to check it down at all. So he's crushing Alvin Kamara, number one. I did win a Kamara receiving prop barely last week, and it was an unbelievable spot. The week before, I lost one with him. So I think Shuck could help Kamara. He did throw some good balls, mainly to Shaheed and also Olave. So I think it's a very slight upgrade for their receivers, but a little less downside maybe for big plays. Ian Rappaport, reporting for the NFL Network, of course. Cam Scataboot now faces a 4 to 6 month recovery. So we're not going to make it. So we'll see you next year, Cam. But congratulations on a heck of a showing your rookie year, creating a lot of excitement. Of course, it's now turned to Buzzkillian tendencies here. But at least we got hope for the future with Cameron Scataboo. DC coach Dan Quinn said Jaden Daniels will practice on Wednesday. So that's today. So we are looking okay there. But again, another situation where the schematic matchup doesn't really line up all that well. Although, let's see here. Yeah, it's slightly negative. So that's kind of a weird thing this week, but maybe the individual matchups do win out. And not the easiest matchup against Seattle, but I do think they give up rushing production to quarterbacks. We'll look into that as we move along. How about Isaiah Pacheco? I don't know. See, that injury occurred so late in the game. We come on the next day, yesterday, and do the show. I'm not sure. I don't think that information was out, but I did kind of mention yesterday, like, didn't he get hurt? It looked like it was bad. Well, it was. Suffered a strained MCL. Grade one is probably 1 to 2 weeks. Grade two could, I guess, be up to the 2 to 4 weeks. So he's week to week, which means week number nine is in question for sure. So I would certainly look to pick up Kareem Hunt. I know Breshard Smith is in the mix. They're trying to work him in as kind of like a new Jerick McKinnon, but sure, he could have some value. But Kareem Hunt is already getting goal line work over Pacheco. So he's hanging in there. Quite frankly, I thought Kareem Hunt, I was a big Kareem Hunt guy that year he came out. I was a huge Kareem Hunt guy. But I also, 2 years ago, I'm like, he's done. He's not done. He keeps bringing it and he runs hard. He's a little bit more physical than most backs in the NFL. He's just a big old bruiser running downhill, getting like 3.8 yards per carry. How about the Lions and Aiden Hutchinson agreeing to a 4-year, $180 million contract extension? This guy, one of the great, not that I ever met him or ever been around him, but man, he is unbelievable. He really seems like a quality individual that you want on your side for sure. Bouncing back incredibly well this year. He may not have a lot of sacks, but this dude is out there wreaking havoc. My guy, Adam Schefter, I think we talked about this yesterday. Maybe we didn't. I can't even recall because all the days blend into one another, especially when I'm preoccupied with my Dodgers in the World Series, by the way. Adam Schefter believes that at least one of the Saint wide receivers will be moved. Now, I think it's Shaheed. He is in the final year of his rookie deal. Chris Olave is under contract for next year. So, and, you know, Olave is good, but Shaheed brings an element that few guys bring, you know, the speed to lift the defense. So if you're looking for that man beater, like the Buffalo Bills, maybe you should be looking at Rashid Shaheed. That could be a heck of a combination there with Shaheed's speed and Josh Allen's very strong right arm. What else do we have here? Wow. Denver Broncos are signing Mercedes Lewis to the practice squad. Please no, please no. Because you know invariably what will happen. He will score touchdowns. And he'll, just when we thought we could trust Evan Ingram, he might ruin Evan Ingram. But before we take the break, let me quickly look at these schematic matchups with the quarterbacks. Because it's not good. Now, interestingly enough, we do show this as a pretty good schematic matchup for Tua Tagovailoa tomorrow. So we'll have more thoughts on that. But not the best one for Lamar Jackson. Not a positive schematic matchup for Caleb Williams, like last week was. Not a good schematic matchup for Joe Flacco, like last week was, in theory. this is across the board. Not a good schematic matchup for Jared Goff. Probably doesn't matter. It's just one part of the equation. Not a good one for Bryce Young. Not good for Jordan Love. It's kind of crazy. Not good for Bo Nix. It is good for CJ Stroud, who did show signs of life last week. That's probably because they play a lot of man. It's not good for Penix. It's not ideal for May, which is weird. Maybe the running backs will kick ass this week. We don't know about the Niner quarterback, but it's not good for McCorkle Jones. Not good for Jackson Dart. It is good for Daniel Jones because the Steelers stink. And not ideal for Aaron Rodgers, but at least Daniel Jones might actually have to throw the ball a lot. Not good for Cam Ward. Not good for Justin Herbert. Don't have any data on Shuck, so we don't have that. Not good for Matt Stafford. Not good for Trevor Lawrence. Not good for Geno Smith. It is good for Patty Mahomes, and not good for Josh Allen. It's unbelievable. Slightly positive for Sammy Darnold. Not great, though, for Jaden Daniels. Not positive for Kyler Murray, and not positive for Dak Prescott. Unbelievable. But that's only one part of the equation, but I did think that was quite interesting. So not maybe a bad week to start popping out some unders on this show. We'll do that, but we'll talk wide receiver corner matchups on the other side. But first, if you think you know sports, time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge is turned into real cash fast. Here's how it works. You download the Better app. You pick more or less than your favorite player stats. Your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. Up to 50% deposit match. Up to $200 when you do deposit, though. Year-round action on all the sports. So head to better.app. That's B-E-T-R. Download the Better app in the App Store or Google Play. Pop in the promo code VSiN for your free $10. Your deposit bonus today. Wide receiver corner matchups next.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen, fantasypoints.com. Brett Whitefield from the aforementioned website will join us on the other side. And I'm looking over at the pickage. Very good last week. He had Johnny Taylor hitting the over. Why didn't I do that? I mean, it's so obvious because I'm afraid of just horrible luck, but that was a hit. I mean, he was all over Aronde Gadsden. How about that? 3 for 3, but he'll be joining us in about 10 minutes. But in the meantime, it's just me here doing what I normally do at 1:15 Eastern on a Wednesday, which is go over wide receiver corner matchups. Again, I'm borderline fascinated by this week because there's so many what look like, you know, really good individual matchups, but the schematics don't really line up. Amon-Ra St. Brown, though, will see a lot of Josh Metellus. If you recall, on Thursday, had a rough night, but my number one prop was Ly McConkey in this matchup, and he crushed. So they're not going to stop Amon-Ra. He will do well. Jamar Chase up against Nashawn Wright, the corner, giving up 0.37 fantasy points per route run, by the way. They do play a lot of zone, do the Bears. So we know at this point what that means. 17 screen passes to Chase and 2 targets for T. Higgins, basically. Marvin, and I'm not bitter at all about the T. Higgins situation last week. Dude scored a 44-yard touchdown in the second quarter and got 1 target rest of the game. That's why they lost. His last name is Bridges. No relation to Todd, I don't think, but he is 0.58 fantasy points per route run given up. Look, the Cowboys, they're changing up how they've been playing, but they have been a deep funnel. They've given up big-time explosive plays. If Marvin Harrison can't do it here, I don't know if he ever was. We'll do anything, quite frankly. I'm sure he will, but it will never be predictable. We like guys to be predictable, and this is a very predictable good spot for him, so we'll see if he actually gets it done. Zay Flowers tomorrow night. Man, he's the man. Zay Flowers. He is crushing for the most part overall, even grading on a curve. He's had a hell of a year playing with Cooper Rush for multiple weeks and all that. But he has a beautiful matchup, not all the time, but inside against Minka Fitzpatrick, the safety who's been playing some slot corner. Obviously, he'll have his hands full whenever he is up against Zay Flowers in man coverage. And then how about a little Davante Adams against Kool-Aid McKinstry, giving up 0.32 fantasy points per route run. Their outside corners, you know, their defense is hanging in there, but their outside corners are beatable big time. We're going to get Puka back as well. Just some other ones, though, before we move on to the negative ones. JSN. Oh, actually, no, we do have JSN here. Some other ones, though. Let's see here. CeeDee Lamb up against Will Johnson. Not so sure about that. Oh, Rashee Rice. That's a weird one. Teron Johnson is good, but, you know, gives up plenty of production. Our guy, Kayshon Boutte, got another one up against often Mike Hughes. I like that one there. This is an interesting one. Josh Downs, you're like, oh my, he's up against Jalen Ramsey. You're like, good, because Jalen Ramsey's not that good right now. What else do we have here? Stephon Diggs, not bad. He'll see a lot of D. Alford, not too shabby over there. Khalil Shakir, another good one. They do play a decent amount of man, but they're also vulnerable out of the slot. So I like that one there. But let's move on here to some negative matchups. And I know our producer, Michael Cohen, is very concerned whenever I say anything negative about Drake London, but Drake London's on the list. He'll see a lot of Carlton Davis. Problem there simply is they'll play some man coverage, and Drake London is not that good up against the man coverage this year. So we'll see. But Carlton Davis, the former Buck, is balling right now for Mike Vrabel, giving up 0.17 fantasy points per route run. So you're like, oh, he'll avoid Christian Gonzalez. Maybe not all the time, by the way. This is just based on alignment numbers. So this is going to be a struggle bus. New England's defense is starting to be a shutdown D because, you know, they don't have a dominant pass rush, but they stop the run and they put the clamps down on things after they do that. So they're looking good. And I don't know about Bijan and all these Falcons on the road, mind you, against New England. Rome Odunze up against Cincinnati, up against DJ Turner. Why I didn't take the Rome Odunze prop last week, I know. Well, actually, I do know why. Trust issues with Caleb Williams, but I was all over that. If you read my article at fantasypoints.com, it's like, it's not really Rome Odunze's fault, which I've kind of come to accept. It's a Caleb Williams thing. He's just not good against zone. And the other thing is the Bengals overall have done a good job of preventing big plays. This could be a little bit of a struggle bus here for Rome Odunze. I'm kicking around, taking the under on it. We also have Courtland Sutton this week. We did win that prop last week, barely. He did drop about a 20-yard tutty. Not the best spot this week. He should avoid Derek Stingley, but the other corner's good. Kamari Lassiter giving up just 0.22 fantasy points per route run. As we mentioned, not the greatest schematic matchup for Bo Nix. One thing that could help, though, Marv Mims in the concussion protocol. See, this is why, you know, wide receiver corner matchups, the schematics, they're all just part of the picture. Like, it's not the end all. This is why when we add up all these things on Fridays when we make the picks, if we're adding, we're stacking up 9 or 10 positives, let's go with it. But, you know, there are 9 or 10 elements. So just because a guy has a bad individual matchup, it's not the end of the world. But, you know, we look at the schematic matchup, the individual matchup, and if they're both good or bad, that's, we're going to move forward with that and maybe make an official pick. Not that we're ever going to pick against Jaxon Smith-Njigba, because why would we? It's incredible. I did lose a JSN prop this year on that Thursday night football game by 1 yard, but he was actually being contained that whole game, if you recall. And I'm like, oh wow, JSN's actually going to have a bad game. No, he didn't. Nope. This guy's unstoppable. It's incredible. Now he will, though, I will say, see a lot of Marshawn Lattimore, who I mentioned him on yesterday's show, on a Monday show, going into Monday Night Football. I'm like, look, he's playing well, and he had a brilliant interception, and that was unbelievable. So maybe Marshawn Lattimore prevents big plays. So it could be a game where JSN, you know, he's going to catch 6-7 balls because that's just what he does. But maybe he doesn't go off. Maybe it's like 6 catches for like 79. That would be, in 2025, an example of containing JSN. If you hold him to 6 grabs for 79, you stopped him. That's how good he is this year. Michael Pittman up against Joey Porter is also on the list. Now, again, I'm don't feel good about the Steeler D stinks. I'm sorry. Let's start receivers against them, but maybe not Porter, because he is giving up 0.18 fantasy points per route run. Pittman, though, has been good. You know, a guy that I loved coming out, yet I'm underselling him now in last two summers because a little worried about so many mouths to feed and all that. But, you know, my original take was this guy is a big, prototypical X receiver who runs well. And that's it. I mean, he's not as good as like a Mike Evans, but he's good. Father played in the NFL, of course. Some other matchups that we have as being a little scary, nothing earth shattering. Darnell Mooney. First of all, I apologize for saying anything good about Darnell Mooney this year because it's been a complete lost year. But he's not doing crap this week against Christian Gonzalez. That would be one. Nothing really. Rashid Shaheed, although the LA corners are pretty decent on the outside. Yeah, nothing else. I think we isolated the tougher matchups. Maybe a little Keon Coleman against Trent Coleman, but Trent McDuffie, but Keon Coleman, that ship has sailed. We'll talk to our guy, Brett Whitefield, on the other side. We'll see what he has cooking. But first, the Sports Equinox is here when all four major sports are in action at the same time. Celebrate the best time of the year for bettors with the VSiN Sports Equinox Special. Sign up now, get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That's less than $20 a month. Daily best bets, DraftKings Circa betting splits, AI-driven prop projections, 24/7 live on-demand video via the VSiN Watch app. Plus, exclusive coverage for the World Series, football season, of course, NBA, NHL, all the good stuff. Don't wait now. Limited time offer won't last. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Brett Whitefield with props for Week 9 next.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. We'll go right to the progressive guest line because Brett Whitefield kicking tail with the propage, 6-3 last week at BG Whitefield. What an unbelievable call, Brett, last week on Aronde Gadsden hitting all three of the props. How you doing?
I'm doing good. He hit, not only did he hit all three, John, hit all three in the first freaking quarter, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I have a problem with, I guess I'm almost too original when oftentimes, like I don't want to steal a prop. Like I'm stealing a prop, but that's neither here nor there. Though I might steal your first prop that you have here because I'm obviously looking into Thursday night football. We do have a total of pretty high, 50.5. Pretty good schematic matchup for Tua. So maybe they can hang in there a little bit. A little Mark Andrews over 27.5. What do you see there with Andrews? And specifically, do you worry at all about Likely? I mean, is Likely even a factor right now? I bring it up because he has been in the past, Mr. Zone Beater, and Miami does play a lot of zone.
Yeah, so I think you nailed it with the potential game script here. High total, two bad defenses. For me, the Miami Dolphins defense has given up five receptions or more to a tight end in five of their games this year. That's a lot. They've been getting beat up a little bit by tight ends. So I like the matchup from that standpoint. Lamar being back really gives me the confidence in this pass game. So even I do think likely he doesn't look 100% to me still. So even if he does get a small uptick and he is more involved, I still expect the Andrews Lamar connection to be there, especially when this defense has been so bad stopping tight ends.
Totally see that one. And also in that game, and I do like this one as well, because as I just said, good schematic matchup for Tua. I haven't looked deep into the weeds as to why, maybe man coverage, but Jalen Waddle is not actually good against man, but we do have a 50.5 total and he's the go-to guy. So I like your over 4.5 catches. Did I just steal all the analysis from you? What do you see there with Waddle?
No, for Waddle, I mean, this Baltimore defense, they're giving up such a high completion rate against that. Like, I think it's like 72.5% of all passes are being completed against this defense right now. It's crazy. They're giving up a ton of explosives, which obviously helps Waddle, but just they're so soft underneath. Like, you can just complete passes all day. I think, you know, Tua, they've made a concerted effort to keep him clean the last few weeks, getting the ball out really quick. I think this is a slam dunk. 4.5 receptions. Waddle, since Tyreek Hill's been out of the lineup, he's had 5+ in every game but one. The one was a game that he left early because of injury. So I really do think this is a solid line here, and should cash relatively easy. I think the odds kind of suggest that as well, right? -148 isn't the best odds in the world, but I like the line.
Oh, true. True. And that's the other thing that hurts me on this show, because I rarely go with bad odds. So that also does hurt. But every once in a while, you know, hey, if it hits, it's a good play. You know what I mean? So every once in a while, you're like, yeah, that's going to hit. As is your third one. I have not played enough Jahmyr Gibbs props this year. I actually think David Montgomery, by the way, is a good buy low guy right now. So any thoughts on that? But you like the Gibbs prop over 72.5 against my Vikings, who I have put in the dirt. I think they're dead for the season. What do you see there?
Yeah, so I actually like both the over 72.5 and the over 17.5 longest rush. Need I remind people what Jahmyr Gibbs did to this Vikings team last year? In two games, he had 116 yards and 139 yards rushing against the Vikings and 6 touchdowns. I mean, he absolutely annihilated them last year. We're projecting, I think Chris Wecht, our projections guy at Fantasy Points, is projecting Gibbs for 85.5. That's a 13-yard buffer there. Plus, I think Gibbs, you kind of look at the workload usage the last few weeks, it's really trended in his favor over David Montgomery. I do think that tends to swing back and forth, right? So I think to your second question, Monty is definitely a trade low guy, especially as the colder weather starts to hit. He is their grinder. He's going to, you know, when things go wrong in that offense, he's the get right guy. They'll just start feeding him the ball. And I know they're going to make a concerted effort to be better on third down. Well, a lot of that is getting it right on first down. And I think some more early down carries for Montgomery are in order for sure.
He looks good too, right? He looks same guy, same guy. I don't see not a scintilla of drop off there. We're talking with Brett Whitefield, our guy from fantasypoints.com on the X machine at BG Whitefield. You got a little CMC action this week against the Giants. Boy, the Giants cupboard is bare, but what do you see there with CMC against New York?
Yeah, this one's real simple to me. The New York Giants run defense is the worst in the league. We've been calling it for a few weeks now, John, and I've been playing these props and it's been working for us. 5.73 yards per carry allowed, the highest EPA per run allowed, the highest success rate per run allowed, the highest explosive run rate allowed. It's not a good run defense. And we know the 49ers are pretty stubborn in the fact that they're going to give Christian McCaffrey the ball 17 to 25 times in this game. And if he averages 5 yards a pop, he's going to absolutely smash his line, right? And that would be under the season average for the New York Giants here. So this one seems really safe. 68.5. I also like the over 14.5 longest rush because the Giants are giving up so many explosive runs. I mean, the explosive rush rate of 18% on the season, 18% of carries there are going for 10 plus. So you saw Barkley hit him a couple times last week, and that was a run unit that couldn't get anything going, and Barkley gashed them a couple times. So feel really good about that one.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, 2 weeks earlier in that same matchup for Barkley, by the way, I thought he could do something on the Thursday night. First two carries, 31 yards right after that. But it did eventually happen in that matchup. Well, let's move on to DeAndre Swift. Our guy Michael Cohen is right now literally on the edge of his seat, hanging on your every word, because he has DeAndre Swift in fantasy. You like the over 51.5. I will admit, I wasn't that in. I haven't been a Swift fan for a couple of years, but they're using him well, and he's running hard, you know, the outside zone and all that. But what do you see?
Yeah, I have not been a traditionally a Swift guy either, being a Lions fan and you know, being excited when they traded him. However, he's been on a tear lately, if we're being honest. He's averaging 6.3 yards per carry over his last three games. The adjusted yards before contact per carry too has been outstanding. Ben Johnson's done an excellent job of manufacturing light boxes for him. I think that's really helped.
Yes.
Swift is he is an explosive back. And so, and then he's going up against a Bengals rush defense that is pretty bad. And they've been progressively getting worse as the season goes on. They're up to 5 yards per carry allowed, 46.5 success rate allowed. I think this is a game where you want to protect Caleb Williams from Trey Hendrickson. You got to establish the run. 51.5 is kind of, it's a pretty low number for a run defense that's this bad. So, I think they come in with the mindset of being physical and getting Swift the ball early and often.
Yeah, I can totally see that. No question about it. Let's, by the way, in that game, not to throw you off course, but, you know, again, we go back and forth. I asked you every week on the live stream that you and I do for fantasypoints.com on our YouTube channel, which you should watch every week because it's an hour and a half, but probably a function of Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze, the splits against man zone, Cincy zone heavy. They also have done a pretty good job giving up big plays here. I'm kicking around a Roma Dunze under, and I'm not an under guy, but it's going to be no wonder on Sunday. But any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think the schematic stuff you pointed out with the, you know, heavy zone looks from Cincinnati. Also, their corners are kind of playing, they're trending up. You know, DJ Turner looks pretty good. Dax Hill on the other side, a converted safety to corner, looks pretty good. So I definitely can get on board with that. Cincinnati's pass rush probably been a little better than advertised as well. I know they have Hendrickson, but the other pieces have been okay. And Caleb Williams under pressure is a disaster, especially once he gets off his script. So I think I could get on board with that. I don't know what the line is, John, but I think an under sounds good there.
Yeah. And then also, you do like JSN. We only have about 30 seconds, but over 93.5. Yeah. He'll see a lot of Lattimore. I just said he'll probably be contained to catch 6 balls for 79, but that's somewhat close. But what do you see with JSN?
Yeah, for me, this is purely just the role is so good, and I'm just trusting Chris Wecht, our projections guy. He's projecting him at like 126. So that's a 23-yard gap between his prop and what we're projecting. That feels safe to me.
All right, there it is. Brett Whitefield on the X Machine at BG Whitefield. Make sure you check him out. Data plus film, all the good stuff. Brett and I doing a live stream on our YouTube page as well. Good luck with the plays, and we'll talk point totals for Week 9 next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you know sports? Start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge is turned into cash. Sign up today, get a free $10, no deposit needed. But when you do deposit, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Head to better.app, use the promo code VSIN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus. Welcome back to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSIN. Final segment, I'm John Hansen. We settled into a place this year where we're looking at the totals on a Wednesday as the injury information comes down the line. here at 1:45 Eastern, still relatively early. But by the way, Isaiah Pacheco out of practice today with that knee. And I'm kind of wondering, that injury occurred late in the Monday Night Football game. Like, maybe if he didn't suffer that injury, maybe he gets another carry or two against a worn-down, disinterested defense, and he hits the Monday Night Special. So we are getting pinched on these specials, but I'm just going to keep on popping them out because when they lose, it's by that much. But we look at these totals, and we try and offer up some insight into what the hell's going on, and we go from high to low, and number one on the board, Cardinals-Cowboys, bodes well for Marv Harrison, Trey McBride, Kyler Murray. Like, we should get the pointage in this one in Dallas. Not a scary defense, pretty solid against the run. Nobody's that excited about Bam Knight, the Dark Knight. But yeah, we're going to be excited about Javonte Williams and all the Cowboy players for sure. Bears, Bengals, this is a good number, 52.5. Don't love the schematics, but you know who the big winner is here? Colston Loveland. The Bengals, unbelievably bad against tight ends. I don't know about Cole Kmet, but we'll see about that. But I think that was my first thought when look, 52.5. It might be Colston Loveland o'clock. Because it's not the best matchup there, like we said, for Roma Dunze, DJ Moore. We'll see. I mean, maybe they featured DJ Moore this week to then trade him, basically. Who knows? Tough one there, but certainly good sign that we're at 52.5. We also have Joe Flacco a little iffy to play, so we'll see about that. Chiefs-Bills. I mean, I'm surprised this is tied with Bears-Bengals, quite frankly, for 52.5. It's in Buffalo. KC is pretty unstoppable right now. It's a shame. One of the reasons I was saying the trade for Isaiah Pacheco last week was good matchups, like Monday night and this one, because a healthy Pacheco could potentially, you know, get 15 carries in this one against Buffalo. They can't stop the run this year. Ed Oliver hurt again. I mean, it's pretty bad. But I guess it bodes pretty well. Josh Allen will have to put the team on his back. Get that Superman costume ready, Josh, because they're going to need you this week. You'll be a little more Superman-y than you have been this year. Years past, he's a little bit more of the Superman than he is this year because, of course, James Cook is Superman. Number four, fourth highest total on the board is tomorrow night's game, Ravens-Dolphins. That does bode well, as we've said, to Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, he's coming off the best game of the season. McDaniel in the offense showing some ingenuity and signs of life. And we got a good total here. Good schematic matchup for Tua as well. Probably go under on everything, but, I like that Brett Whitefield point because I don't know about the Waddle over. But, I mean, Waddle's getting 8 targets. Come on. He's got to. And Caleb last week in the matchup, every time I turned on that game, they were matriculating the ball down the field via the forward pass, mostly to Roma Dunze. So I think we're looking pretty good there. Next up, Colts Steelers. Love it. Love it that the Steelers, A, their defense stinks. B, they have enough firepower because that's what we need because the Colts are too good. We must keep the Colts pushing the pedal to the metal. They actually did a little bit last week, which I think they did that because I was not in on any of the overs, quite frankly, because three weeks ago, I'm still mad about it. Danny Dimes, I don't even remember who they were up against. Like 4 weeks ago, I'm still mad. He's out there slinging it, doing whatever the hell they wanted. All he needed to do was get to 220 and like, go take a seat, Danny. We got this. We're good. So that probably won't be the case with Aaron Rodgers playing pretty well and a good amount of weapons there for the Steelers. My guy Roman Wilson all of a sudden making some plays there. So I like that. Niners-Giants, a pretty good total at 48.5. Bodes pretty well. I mean, the best thing about it for the Giants is the Niners pass rush or their non-existent pass rush. I mean, look at C.J. Stroud and the Texans last week. Bodes well, maybe a little Darius Slayton action. We're not going Theo Johnson, though. Not again, ever again. We should put Theo Johnson retroactively on the DMP list. because we're not playing them ever again. Ever again. Vikings, Lions, we should be a little higher, but I think the fear would be that the Lion defense will smother the Vikings like they did to Baker Mayfield last week. I mean, that was impressive. So I think the number's still pretty high, though, which bodes well for their running game and Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra. The Vikings, I've decided it's over. They're done. See you next year. Seattle at DC, pretty good total here at 47.5. I like that. That's probably a function of getting Jaden Daniels back. Of course, they're at full strength now with Debo and Terry McLaurin, because this is not the best matchup overall for DC. At least it is in DC, so you don't worry about the 12 and all that. Jaguars at Raiders, middle of the pack here, 45.5. Don't really have anything riveting to say, although, you know, it's a decent number. I think we should probably, well, here's the problem. Raiders are the problem. Do they just implode as they've done like last week and just pack it up, give up? So maybe, yeah, I don't know what to think there, because I don't know about Brock Bowers just yet. And are they, how committed are they to Geno Smith? Because we need something else here. How about ABG? Anyone but Geno. I'll take Aiden O'Connell. I'll take Kenny Pickett. I'll take Jim Plunkett at this point. Panthers, Packers are next at 44.5. Nothing riveting here other than don't expect a bonanza by the Green Bay Packers, because this is not the greatest total here that you got. It's like Indy. You got to force them to the air or else they'll just hand the ball off. Although Josh Jacobs in the running game, not very productive these days. Falcons, Patriots, not surprised that this is low. Could be a tougher spot for Drake May. Definitely a tougher spot for Michael Penix and Bijan and Drake London. So not good. Saints, Rams, 44.5, lower number. Saint D is actually hanging in there. They're not horrible, certainly beatable, but we've got the Tyler Shuck situation there. Might represent an incremental upgrade, though, at the very least, over Spencer Rattler. But, man, Alvin Kamara can't do anything. If I would pick up Devin Neal, by the way. Devin Neal, the all-time leading rusher for the Kansas Jayhawks. I had an opportunity to interview him at the Senior Bowl. He's a great dude. Old school guy, can catch the rock. He caught some balls last game. He was out there. L.A. Chargers, Tennessee Titans. Poor old Titans. Buzzkill City here at 43.5. Maybe we thought we'd get a little bit higher, but no, 43.5. And then we've got the Broncos at the Texans. Not surprised there. 39.5. Bo Nix, not good against zone. And they're zone heavy and they're good. And of course, Stroud and the like. No Sertan, that'll help, but it's going to be a struggle bus. This is not going to be a fantasy football bonanza. One item of business to get to, I'm going to pop out a best bet for tomorrow's game. I've got two or three of them, but I've got the number one coming at you in a minute. Stay tuned to VSiN after we sign off. It is Money Moves with Stormy Bonantoni and Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern on today's show. Bailey Armore, probably pronounced that wrong, previews Breeder Cup markets and all that. But I'm going to go tomorrow night, Devon Achane over 32.5 receiving yards. We do have this total of over 50. The Ravens are more giving to running backs in the passing game. They don't have a lot of weapons. It's not the greatest schematic for Jalen Waddle. It's definitely not a good schematic for Malik Washington. No Darren Waller. Like, how are they going to manufacture offense? One way is to get the ball a little bit more creatively than we've been doing, by the way, Mike McDaniel. To Mr. Achane, we got to hit this one. 32.5. He should get 6+ targets as they play from behind. We'll have the full suite of Thursday Night Football props tomorrow along with Tom Brawley. Until then, enjoy your day. Go Blake Snell. Go Dodgers. We'll catch you manana.